Today's reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. When have you encountered love up close? On that morning long ago, perhaps Mary set out to go and get her hands on the body. Maybe she thought that getting close to his body would help her to wrap her mind around the reality of it all. He had been her friend and her teacher. His presence, his teaching had opened a whole new world to her, a new kingdom in which the poor and the lowly were really worth something. And the mighty and the rich were brought down to where they could remember that the poor and the lowly were their kin. In him, everything just seemed to come together. God's world and our world, the Jewish faithful and the Samaritan foreigner, the top of society and the bottom of society, all of them seemed to find their home in him. And for the first time, Mary had let herself trust. And that trust, that faith in him, had blossomed into hope. Hope, which in a weary world we know is hard to come by. But then they killed him for it. They killed him for loving the people, for making the people trust him. They killed him for giving them hope. And so on that morning long ago, perhaps Mary set out to get her hands on the body, to get up close and personal with death in order to confirm that it was all true, the heartbreak, the death, the end of her hope. There was another morning, another time. Okay, Doug, switch me over to the pulpit, Mike. It's not working. How's that? Good. So there was another morning, another time when some women went to get up close and personal with death. This time, the women I'm talking about were my sister-in-law, Shannon, and myself. You see, Shannon and I are bound by the graces and the challenges of having married one of the first brothers. We are part of what we call the First Wives Club. But Shannon and I also share another kinship. Out of the four brothers, we married the ones who became pastors. And Shannon and I are also both pastors. So yes, it's a pretty messed up family, y'all. Nearly 5 years ago, our family was struck by tragedy when Jeremy, Shannon's husband and my husband Brad's brother, was killed in a fall while climbing a mountain in Colorado. He was just about to turn 43. It was, and it still is in many ways, an earth-shaking loss for our family, for Jeremy's congregation, and for his many friends. We joke that that's probably why he had three funerals. So on this particular morning, Shannon and I had gone up to the chapel at the camp where the first funeral had been held the day before. Jeremy's ashes were in an urn that had been constructed from pieces of the boys' childhood kitchen table. It was this beautiful piece of art, but it wasn't really designed for plane travel. So our task was to figure out how to ensure that the urn and the ashes would make it safely with Shannon on the trip back to Seattle from Nebraska without any, you know, unseemly accidents. And the truth is that even though I sort of do words for a living, I still have not found the words to describe the experience of that morning. To take hold of his remains, it took our breath away. It was yet another step of absorbing the shocking reality of his death. And so even as we began, we both wept and we just shook our heads. But then we got going, holding and turning the box and kind of awkwardly weaving ourselves around one another as we wound a half roll of saran wrap in every direction around the wooden box, tilting it this way and that way, and honestly spilling little bits of ash along the way and wondering, what do we do? Do we brush it off of our hands? Do we wipe it on our jeans? Here's what I know. What I know is that somewhere in the wrapping, somewhere in the crying and the giggling and the sneezing, we were palpably present to the truth that the thing that makes life life is love. And in that moment, even in the utter ruins of death, we were gripped by the surprising presence of love. Love that goes beyond the grave. Love that overflows its banks. Love that even death cannot contain. That, I believe, is the surprise that Mary encountered on that morning when the gardener called her name. It was there, face to face with Jesus, that she began to learn what he had been trying to teach her all along, that love just does not behave. It persists. It doesn't follow the rules. It won't stay dead. It keeps showing up and calling our names, insisting that our tears and our despair and even our death is no longer the end of the story. You have experienced it. I promise you have, or at least that you will. When the bottom falls out in your life and still, somehow, still you can feel something holding you. When months of depression give way to even just a moment of joy. When butterflies in your stomach signal the possibility of new love after heartbreak or loss. When those eyes don't recognize you anymore. And yet those lips still recall every word of that song or that prayer. When is it for you? When have you been encountered by the surprise of love? Not the surprise that love exists, but that it keeps showing up after it should have ended. It keeps bubbling up in places that it doesn't belong. On the battlegrounds of our lives and of our world, at the rock bottom of your life. No, not that rock bottom, but the one that came later that was even subterranean. Perhaps what is most surprising about love is not that it exists and not that it persists, but just what it can persist through, just what it can and will overcome. That is the witness of the Christian faith, that love ultimately will overcome everything, every hurt, every loss, every abuse, every injustice, every genocide. When all of those things have been exhausted, love will still remain standing there calling your name. Mary went to get up close and personal, to get her hands on death. But in the end, it was love that took hold of her. He wouldn't let her touch him, and I'm not sure that I really understand why, even now. But there was no denying that in that moment, the one who was love made flesh had his hold on her. Easter is not about looking for or accepting or believing in some kind of proof. It is about the surprising, up-close encounter with love. Love that should have died. Love that will not rest. Love that will not give up. Love that will not let you go until it has accomplished what it came to do, to set the world right, to make it whole, and every one of us with it. It's about looking up and recognizing that is who's holding you. Christ is risen indeed. Alleluia.